welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's
Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back to the radio station once again, have what we consider another God-given opportunity who might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. Sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in. We appreciate most of all those who, as you listen, that you pray, and ask you not only to pray as you hear, but pray through the week that as we try to prepare and try to come to those points which that truly should be presented, that truly would be the most beneficial to those who might hear. Pray that the Lord would help us to understand what those things would be and to study upon them, that then when we come this way, the things that we open our attention to and address, they'd be those that'd be the most helpful to all who would hear. So we do appreciate you tuning in, appreciate you praying for us, and ask that you continue to do so. We've been trying to pray, and as we have prayerfully considered what we feel like we should address, we do have some thoughts on our heart. Those who have been following along know that we've been touching upon the subject of the kingdom. We've addressed some different points regarding the kingdom, and those points that we've addressed, they are available on the website that is mentioned frequently from this place. That website is called FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. That's Fisher, one Fisher, Fisher of Men, Baptistic, that's like Baptist with the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. www.radiocentral.com. You find a number of resources there, and in the radio section, there are sermons, and you find previous messages that have been addressed at that place. And I want you to feel free and feel welcome to go to that location and consider ever what resources that are there. You're free to download, free to share, and use those just however that you may feel that the Lord impresses upon your heart that you ought to do. We believe that we have freely received, and we want to freely share. So, as you might think, as we take up this point, knowing that it is the sixth part of a series on the kingdom, you may be concerned that you've missed too much of this to really benefit from this part. Know that these have been, they do go together, but then they do stand independent as well. So that in considering these parts, it's good to consider them separately. But then if you'd like to go back and consider the other resources that we've mentioned at that website, you're able to do so and see how that this all ties together. We want to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we will try to take up the thought that's on our heart, and we'd like to invite you to pray with us if it's to where that you can and like to. So if it's to where you can and will, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, our sins and shortcomings, and help us that as we walk along the path of life that we would be found living in such a way truly pleasing to God, knowing that by your help, guidance, direction, therein is the strength which is found only in Christ, that we may be such as we cannot be otherwise. Take away from us and deliver us from those things which that are unbecoming to followers of Christ, that as he is, so might we be. We pray, God, again for those who are sad and lonely, the afflicted, the many sad and needy circumstances. We pray, God, knowing that with you all things are possible. And we pray, God, that you would not only intervene and bless, but help us, Lord, that by your grace we might be a neighbor indeed and have words of comfort to share and be found being kind to those in whom we encounter. We pray, Father, that you would remember those who have the worst condition of all, those who are lost, knowing thee not nor the free pardon of sin. Pray, God, something said or done might call their attention to their condition of their own soul, that they might turn toward God, seek and find that great gift that comes through repentance toward God and faith toward Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, again for those who have been saved, that there would be leadership and guidance, that the children of God would be led to unite to the house of the living God. And pray, God, for the church, that she would be richly blessed, that she might ever be zealous to do the will of God in these days of coldness and complacency. Help us, Lord, to ever be found faithful to that great and dear truth that you've entrusted thereunto. Pray that you continue to call brethren out to this great work and bless those whom you have called, that being delivered from snares and entanglements and the things which could distract and turn aside, being delivered therefrom, doors of utterance would be opened, and opened in such a way that they cannot be shut, that the word of God would be presented effectually and known effectually in the hearts of those who hear. Remember our country, protect it, keep it, help it, for we indeed stand in need of the help of God. Grant us we'd have leaders who would be careful to look to God and do the things you'd be pleased to have done. Take now and direct, forgiving us where we fail thee, and we'll look towards you for guidance and direction in all things. Many things we know we fail to ask, but fail not to grant, for we seek all blessings and favors in Christ's name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we have tried to prayerfully consider and seek the things we felt like we should try to address, we want to take up some points out of the book of Galatians, and in chapter 5, we notice in Galatians chapter 5 that there is a harmony with what's taught in Galatians chapter 5, with what's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is also taught in Ephesians chapter 5. There is a harmony, a similar teaching, a same conclusion that is drawn from considering these places in the Scripture. And these each relate to the kingdom. We'll read from Galatians 5, noticing that in this portion of the Word of God, we have our attention called to a warfare, a difference within those who have been saved. And in this difference that's been laid out here, this struggle within the children of God, we notice that in yielding to one side of the struggle, where that the weakness is found, We notice that there is a direct impact on whether or not there will be what's called an inheritance in the kingdom. We'll read then out of Galatians 5, and I notice this, that the scripture says, beginning in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Galatians chapter 5. We've read from verse 15 down through verse 21. Notice in these scriptures that the scriptures, I believe I said from verse 16 down through verse 21. I meant to say we started reading with verse 16. So if that causes some confusion, we like to correct that. So from verse 16 through verse 21. I notice in these scriptures that indeed there is a struggle that's called to our attention. We find that this scripture being written to these Christians, these church members down at Galatia, they're told to walk a certain way. Now, to walk is how we live. And specifically, this is these instructions to these brethren and sisters are to walk in the Spirit. And I notice that the instructions which are found in the Word of God, we're told that they're timeless. God lets us know His Word is just as He is. He says He changes not. We therefore believe His Word changes not. Lord Jesus Christ, in case we were concerned whether or not that was the fact, Jesus Christ said that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word shall not pass away. This Word is going to be standing. It'll endure, and it'll be right there long after this world has passed away. We're told this world is going to pass away, but we're also told that the Word, that is the Word of God, will not. So these things we've read, they're timeless. They're the same for a day when Paul put ink to paper, sent that paper with that ink on it, that message written on it to these Galatians. That message is alive and present and means very much the same thing. Not the similar thing, but the exact same thing for us today. So the message then is for the followers of Christ to walk in the Spirit, knowing and walking in the Spirit that there will not be a fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. So here we have two things, one set against the other, walking a certain way, that is, walking in the Spirit, versus walking according to a lust, the desires of the flesh. And the Scripture says these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's want-tos, there's desires, cravings about the flesh. But the Scripture says that the Spirit lusts against the flesh. So even though the flesh desires certain things, the Spirit of the children of God desires other things. And they're contrary one to the other, so that there is indeed a struggle. And we're taught in such places as Romans chapter 7 that the victory in this struggle is in Christ Jesus. Christ says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help us in time of need. That's over in Hebrews chapter 4, about the 16th verse of that chapter. So as we think about this struggle, we notice that indeed, that there is a way which is according to the flesh and a way which is according to the Spirit. And notice that the ways which are of the flesh, which are identified, because it says the works of the flesh are manifest, it means they're obvious, they're out there to be seen. Then you have this list of things: adultery, fornication, murders, drunkenness, envies, strifes, wrath. These things are of the flesh. They're not of the Spirit. And it's obvious that they're of the flesh. These are things that you can look at. It's like a fruit on a tree. You know, you can look at that fruit, and that fruit helps you identify that tree. You look at these things, and you know if someone's walking in the flesh or walking by the Spirit. And we're told, they that do such things, they which do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think about another verse of Scripture. We mentioned earlier that there's a harmony between Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6. Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Scripture says this. When it's talking about the kingdom of God, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's verse 9. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So the Scripture here says this, be not deceived. Don't let yourself be deceived in this matter. When it comes down to the kingdom of God, there's certain things that will keep you out of the kingdom. You'll not have an inheritance in it. And this is what that we wanted to draw your attention to. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then after mentioning these things, it says that these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's not going to be an involvement in the kingdom for those who are involved in these things. And I'm going to have to say this, that Lord willing, the next opportunity that we have to try to bring thoughts on this, we're going to need to consider whether or not that this teaching that we're addressing here, whether or not this teaching is saying that if a person who is born again, a person who has been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, if their sins have been forgiven and they have been born of the Spirit, the question that must be on our mind when you hear me addressing these points, the question must come out, so does that mean if a person who has been saved, a child of God, if they get involved in any of these things, that they'll lose their salvation? Now, I just want to caution you to think about this, because what normally speaking, what jumps out to people's attention is the part we read, adultery and fornication. We read about drunkenness. We read about strife, witchcraft. But I want you to notice that there are other things in here. See, many people will say, well, I'm not a type of person that's a fornicator. I'm not the type of person who's a drunkard. I'm not that kind of person, so I don't have to worry about that. But here's the thing that's in the same list and given the same weight. Hatred, wrath, strife. When did you come down to anger, come down to being involved in strife, when you come down to being involved in revelings, when it gets into envy, have you ever been a little jealous over anything? You know, these things are still of the flesh, and a continual involvement in these things, a living in them according to the flesh, is just as much on this list as the fornication and the drunkenness. So when you think about these things, be careful that you don't let yourself fall into that place where that you identify these things that just seem like big ones that, you know, in our day, sometimes the certain things jump out at us and we'll focus on them and overlook other things and sometimes dismiss other things which are right in the same list and therefore of the same weight in this matter. So just want to make that point. And then we want to come back to the point, does it mean those who are involved in any of these things have lost their salvation if they were saved and then involved in any of these things? And I'm thinking about being envious and being angry and being wrathful, you know, so that we don't jump to these other points that we mentioned. Let's just think about these because they're on the same list. Always saying that a person loses their salvation if they get involved in that. And I want to give you a little heads up, Lord willing, and you're able to tune in the future. I believe Scripture's pretty plain, once saved, always saved. But I wouldn't ask you to believe that just because I say it. I would ask you to consider what thus saith the Lord out of the Scriptures. And I'd give you one citation here. Good Lord willing, we'll try to address this in the future. But one quote out of John chapter 5. We'll read John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking, he says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's a possession. You get everlasting life from doing that. And then but he don't stop there. Not only does he have everlasting life, but it says, and shall not come into condemnation. Now, it seems like if someone could receive everlasting life and then lose it sometime in the future, that the Lord would be wrong in what he said right here. Because he said that they have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But if a person could be saved and then lose their salvation, well, they would have everlasting life, but they could come into condemnation. But the Lord didn't say that they could. He said they could not. They shall not come into condemnation. So my point is this, is that when we're dealing with the subject of soul salvation and the subject of the kingdom, they're not the same subject. One, you got to be saved before you can enter the kingdom. We touched on that in a previous message, in this series even. But when it's you're saved, that don't put you in the kingdom. And just because you don't stay in the kingdom or a child of God, something happens along their journey. For whatever reason, they get to walking in the flesh and living in the flesh. Just because they get to living in the flesh and are not able to inherit the kingdom because of the sin that they've let themselves fall into, that does not mean that they lost their salvation, because salvation and the kingdom are not the same thing. You've got to be saved before you can enter the kingdom, but just because a person is not in the kingdom doesn't mean that they're not saved. So, moving forward, we notice that the Scripture tells us this, and we'd like to call your attention to an important point here about these works, about these things of the flesh. I'd like to say this, that there is a great enemy of people, great enemy of people who love to see them all be destroyed by the righteous judgment of God. Keep people so deceived, keep people so disinterested in what God teaches, that they'd be in a place to where God would be left with no other choice but to execute what he has said that he's going to execute. You see, and that old adversary is none other than the devil. You may be surprised that I mentioned the devil. That may sound like a topic or maybe a character like you'd find in a movie. Maybe a fictitious character. But I want you to know that he's very real. The Scripture tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, not only did he give his life for the sin of the world, but also he came to receive for himself a kingdom. And and we've touched on that point too in a previous series, previous part to this series. When he received for himself a kingdom, he meant for the subjects of his kingdom to be able to be a certain way, to live a certain way. Well, now these works of the flesh is what the Lord Jesus Christ would love to help everybody step away from, to overcome them, to put them out of their life. The Lord Jesus Christ would love to help everybody do that, and he would if we would lean and trust upon him. But the old adversary would just love to see each and every child of God to stay wrapped up in these things so that they would miss out. They've already got soul salvation. He can't do anything about that, but he'd love to keep them from getting a blessing. I noticed, though, that Jesus Christ, to prove to us how that Christ would indeed help people if they yield to him and believe him, trust him, follow after him, commit themselves to him. He that committeth sin is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now this Scripture tells us that there are works which that men and women get involved in that are of the devil. But Christ came to destroy those works, and he would if we would trust him, if we would yield and believe upon him. I believe there's things that, we're trying every type of medication, we're trying every type of counseling program, trying all kinds of things to overcome the very things that Christ would help us put out of our lives if we would trust on him. I read further and I find this. The Scripture says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. How do we resist the adversary? He, as a roaring lion, as a lion crouched, ready to attack the prey. That's us. Who is ready to devour, seeking whom he may devour. How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. That is the faith of Christ. Like the scripture we quoted earlier says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come with confidence to the throne of grace. Who's at the throne of grace? That's where Christ is. Scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. That's God's promise. And if there's anybody who can be believed, it's God. Think about Ephesians chapter 5, addressing this very similar point. Teaches us this, says, over in, chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against these things. What do we wrestle against? Not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against other people. It says what we're wrestling against is principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a real struggle going on. But I want you to know there's victory in Christ. There's a struggle going on, but there's victory to be found in Jesus. When Christ came into this world, yes, he faced death. He took a taste of death. The scripture in Hebrews chapter 2 says he tasted death for us all. So he faced death. He tasted it. And Acts chapter 2, about verse 24, tells us that death couldn't hold him. Though Christ tasted death, but death couldn't hold on to him. Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave. Not only did Christ overcome death, hell, and the grave victorious himself, but he promised victory to everybody who'd come unto him. And he beckons us, come unto him. Come to him. Take his yoke up on you. Learn of him. He says, for he is meek and lowly in heart, and we shall find rest to our soul. Though there's a struggle, there's rest to be found in Christ, if we would come to him. I hope this subject of the kingdom proves interesting, and it proves points that Christ is the victor for all who would come into that place. Salvation must come first, but then there is a service unto God, particularly a service of God in yielding to Christ. And Christ will help us to be a certain way. We need to learn what that way is, and a big part of that way is a avoidance, an overcoming of many other things which are according to the flesh. Our time is swiftly come and gone. Thank you again for tuning in. We pray God would richly bless you and yours. Pray for me. I'll pray for you till we come back this way again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.